And welcome to Sounding Off with Kim Munson. This is our podcast series where we're able to delve a little bit deeper into these important issues. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. And thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice as we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. We're actually going outside Colorado today. On the line with me is Wisconsin Representative Tim Rantham. Representative Rantham, welcome to the show.
Kim, thanks so much for having me. I got to tell you right off the bat, the first thing I like to say when I talk to people, either locally or nationally, or in some cases internationally, is praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I'm a servant of the Lord, and I'm a servant of the people, and that's how I look at my job. I'm glad to be on your show today. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Yes, today is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad, correct?
So, absolutely, every day.
Yeah, for sure. And there's so much going on out there, but searching for truth and clarity is really one of the things that we are supposed to do. And you have been looking at this whole election integrity issue. So where do you want to start with this, Representative Rantham?
Well, it's got a little bit of a sequential story to it, Kim. I would tell you first and foremost a couple of things I want to get out. I'm huge on communication. Again, as a servant of, by, and for the people, it's very important for me. It's imperative to me and my office that we communicate weekly. And of the 132 state legislators in this state, Wisconsin, we're the only office that does it weekly, and we do it in two different fashions. One is an e-update, which is an electronic email distribution, which covers a couple, three topics and gives us links to perhaps videos or et cetera. And the other one is an item called the Rantham Report. I'm on YouTube, Rumble, and Telegram every week, and we emphasize a majority of our expressions around election integrity on the Rantham Report, which can be viewed by anyone in the world, essentially. And I am international. Those broadcasts weekly go to Canada as well, so technically I'm international with my broadcasts. Where do I want to start with the process? Let me start with obvious concern that I had last November, not so much about the outcome of the reported election results, but when the noise around nefarious acts, irregularities started coming up, things just didn't make sense, I was alarmed. I was alarmed to the point where I wanted somebody to ask questions before we just went through this learned behavior and this status quo of que sera, sera kind of event, where you certified the votes on December 14th in Wisconsin, which was the state's certification. I wanted that addressed before it happened. It just happened. Everybody seemed to be in a rush to hurry up and rubber stamp this thing. And then I got on a letter. And I forget who was pushing for it. It was some election integrity group, and I was one of 13 legislators in Wisconsin. I think there was one senator and 12 reps that sent a letter to Vice President Mike Pence at the time for the January 6th certification and at the Congress level to say, stop, don't do this yet. We've got some things we have to ask and check on. Well, that didn't happen, as you know. The election was certified, and, of course, then there was the riots and all that noise. Then if you fast forward to March 10th in the state of Wisconsin, the Campaign and Elections Committee had a very, very transformational meeting where they brought in Eric Cardall, an attorney who had been very involved in the elections up in Brown County, Wisconsin, which is the Green Bay area, for all you Packer fans out there in Colorado. And wink, wink, that was explosive. There was so much factual information that came out of that meeting that was beyond irregularity, beyond it was into the illegality section, put it that way. And I'll tell you what, it blew me away. And so I knew then something was majorly wrong with our process, from routine at the clerk's level to data from the Wisconsin Election Commission level to chain of custody and how ballots were handled to the cyber side, which was when we found out eventually that the machines that tabulate votes are connectable to the internet. Either there's a modem in there or a router in each machine, Dominion, ESNS, whatever. So from March 10th, I started to get real aggressive. In July, which sounds like a long time between March and let me back up a step. So from March 10th to March 23rd, the Assembly met on the floor and we approved a resolution as a full body, AR 15, which allowed the Campaign and Elections Committee more authority to do investigations up to and including subpoenas. And I voted yes for that, absolutely, wholeheartedly yes. I thought that vote would matter. Ultimately, it didn't so much because in May, the Speaker met with his organizational committee and gave himself the power to hire somebody to help the committee. Now, on the surface, it sounded fine. We were having a resource added to the committee. I thought maybe there was a connection between AR-15 and this resource. This special counsel happened to be former Supreme Court Justice Mike Gableman. It's not the person either. It's just the process sounded pretty good, and the person actually helped. Well, that didn't materialize into aiding the Campaign and Elections Committee at all. There was no assistance, no communication, nothing. So I looked at that more as an obstruction move, not as a helpful move. And then July 15th rolls along, and the Arizona Senate met and did a preliminary update on their audit. And I listened to that here in my office with my staff and, again, was blown away by the amount of detail that raised major red flags on irregularities and illegalities. That I sent a letter to the Speaker, and I said, we need to move now. We need to act. We need to be assertive. We need to be aggressive. We need an audit in our state to get this stuff fleshed out. And he suggested, well, just send an email to this Mike Gableman guy who was running point for his side of the investigation. It wasn't part of the campaign elections. And I said, okay, good idea. I'll do both. I did a press release and the letter to the special counsel guy. The press release is what in July was what launched Wisconsin's focus. I got the campaign elections chair to follow suit. Then the Speaker sent something out. I sent something out right after him reaffirming the need for an audit. That moved us into August. August, I went to the symposium. I was the only representative, the only legislator from the state of Wisconsin who went to Sioux Falls, South Dakota for all 3 days. And Kim, the reason I wanted to do that, well, obvious reasons, but there was one main one. I didn't want to hear anything from anybody about that meeting that wasn't firsthand to me. I wanted to be there to see it, hear it, smell it, breathe it, taste it. I didn't want anybody filtering any information from that meeting, so I had to go. It was imperative that I went. And I went on my dime, by the way. I didn't charge the taxpayers a cent. It was all on me to drive out there and to be there for those 3 days. So that August moves us into September. While I was there, by the way, in August on the 11th, the Lindell program talked about the issue regarding machines being accessible by the Internet. This is where it came to fruition, where they could show categorically that either a modem or a router in the machine could be hacked by somebody with a cell phone, basically. And so I put a press release out on August 11th saying, stop, cease and desist, do not do any upgrades to Dominion machines in the state of Wisconsin. We need to capture the image because the log file data, not the ballot tabulation data, but all other activity, all other data on that machine is on the hard drive. And when they do upgrades on the hard drive, it wipes out the data. So you lose any potential forensic data that could be used in an investigation to prove nefarious acts and or illegal acts, up to and including access to the machine, uploading or downloading things, right? So that kind of fell on deaf ears too, which really, really bothered me because I really wanted to get ahead of that. So from mid-August with the revelation that we had a problem with these machines and these upgrades, well, then the Wisconsin Election Commission, which is the agency that's supposed to spearhead and provide oversight to our elections here in Wisconsin, had another meeting. On June 2nd, they said yes to Dominion. On August 11th, I said stop Dominion because they're damaging the hard drive with the data loss. Well, they had another meeting for ES&S, another machine maker, which does 31 counties in the state of Wisconsin, 31 out of 72, nearly half. And this time, though, in September on the 9th, the Wisconsin Election Commission had a better meeting. They were more surgical with their questions. The concerns I had got to them about what's really being protected, what's really being lost. And they were able to do a conditional approval of upgrades, but not to old machines, just to anything new that came in that wasn't essentially used during the election. So they did a conditional approval for ES&S, but they didn't allow upgrades to old machines. So at least we could stop the activity and the damage with ES&S in September. And here we are today. We're getting into issues regarding data, combination of active and inactive in the same file, not protected on different servers, So accessibility, 3,138 people in Wisconsin have access to this data. Any one person can move data from Racine County to Fond du Lac County to Green Bay, Brown County, to said earlier when we chatted up in northern Wisconsin. The problem is you shouldn't be able to go outside your county if you have access to county data. It should be county specific. It's state specific. It's state allowed. So we have a lot. We have a lot of issues here in Wisconsin how our election processes are working. Campaign election chair is trying to work with the situation, including the special counsel. The speaker and the special counsel element are kind of off doing their own thing, not in conjunction with the chair. I'm out there basically asking questions and poking issues to keep things on the front burner because it's that important to me. That's my nutshell comment, Kim. I don't know what else to ask. Next question, please.
Okay. Well, this is very important what you are working towards. If we don't have free, fair, honest, trustworthy elections, then I really don't think we have a country because that is foundational to the American idea, Representative Rantham.
The accusation of irregularities or illegal actions, just to say that, to me, is an attack on our Constitution. It's a national crisis issue. We don't have fair, legal, and safe elections. You're right. We don't have a country. We don't have a republic. We will lose our republic. And we're starting to see the effects of consequences in elections. And this one, I don't know if it was actually factual. So I really want to push not only getting the data and the specifics out for judicial actions, but to also go back and answer the question. If the outcome of the election was affected on November 4th, we would maybe need to correct that. And if we correct it, could it change things? Absolutely, it probably could. But we got to get first things first. Audits have to be done with all 50 states in the nation, like Arizona did, Wisconsin's. Moving toward that, I hope we get it done. We got to have something that parses out the specific data to say, here's the proof. Because that's what I hear, Kim, everywhere. You know, there's no proof, show us the proof. Nobody's helping me find that proof. They're just, you know, basically saying I'm crazy for looking into it. Show me the proof, and or here I'll show you the proof. We need to get those investigations done and those audits done. So I'm looking forward to a constitutional crisis if that's what it takes to get this right, because it's that important. Right now for me, it's my number one thing. Nothing here in the state of Wisconsin, in Madison's capital, is more important than election integrity. It's my number one. It's the hill to die on.
Well, and to that, and you just addressed this, but that is the thing is, it was basically, there's nothing to see here, no election challenges at all or irregularities. Basically, if there is proof, where is the proof? And it's taken me a while to realize this, Representative Rantham, is it takes time to delve into this and to find out, quote unquote, the proof. And so this immediate narrative is nothing to see here, move on, no proof. I'm grateful for people that are like, wait a minute, we've got to make sure that we have honest elections, elections that people can trust, that the citizen can trust. And this is a very important issue here in America. So thank you for taking this on. And again, my friends, remember, it takes time to build a case. It takes time to go back and check this out. There's no way you can the next day say that there's no proof.
Well, Kim, I can't thank you enough for emphasizing the element of time. I would tell you that it's taking more time than it should, because at least 50% of the people are not helping. They're obstructing. I think if everybody was genuinely concerned, and by the way, they should be. Elections are for us all. They're not Republican elections or Democrat elections. They're for the citizens of the United States and for every state that makes it up. They should all be equally concerned, but they're not. The Democrats don't help me at all, and I even have some issues with getting past some Republicans. It's like, well, let's just move on. You know, we don't want to deal with that. Well, I do. And so the time element is actually expounded upon because of the obstruction and the indifference. So hopefully as more information comes out and truth is revealed, that people will say, you know what, there is something here. And we should have gotten in gear a long time ago. And I think that's coming. It's real close to coming. So, anyway.
What is your message, Representative Grantham, to the people of America regarding this and what they can do about it?
Engage, care, take action to push for truth so we can have closure. There isn't a place I go in this state, and I think if I would travel into other states, up to and including Colorado, I would find a majority of the people, at least 50%, if not more, who have this concern. Now, as a servant of the people in any elected office, from school board up to president and everywhere in between, in my opinion, these servant roles need to deliver satisfaction to the people demanding it in certain areas to at least meet, if not exceed, expectation. They're demanding action on election integrity, and they're not getting it. So you wonder why there's concern in the nation. There's some hostility levels. Maybe it's from school board people yelling about indoctrination. You've got election integrity issues going on as well. Why are they upset? Why are they acting out, essentially? Because they're not getting what they need. And that's what these roles do. So to the citizens everywhere, I would say engage at your local level, and engage at your state level, and engage at your federal level. Get your representatives, the people who are supposed to be serving you, to serve you. And get some communication going. Demands updates weekly. The issues don't take vacation. Issues don't take a time out for the summer to enjoy the summer. The issues don't go away until they're resolved. So people need the help to push their representatives and their servants to resolve issues. That's my extended answer to your question.
Well, it makes it, first of all, again, I have found it so interesting that when people refer to representatives, and we're supposed to have representative government, of course, we've got this whole bureaucracy over here, we won't talk about that today, but that people refer to themselves as elected leaders, and people may refer to them as elected leaders, and they are not leaders, they are servants, and that is the way it was created with our founders, is that servant leadership, representing the people. And I think that it's something inherent that Americans believe is happening, but I think that all of this that's going on right now is helping us revisit, and I think it's actually bringing clarity to these issues, Representative Grantham.
I actually agree with that. In a way, you know, sometimes when you have trial and tribulation or conflict, they're always, to me, opportunities. They're an opportunity. The challenges become opportunities to get something out of that, to learn from that, to make something better. You don't know what to fix if you don't know what's broken, so sometimes a little squeaky wheel is a good thing, right? But I couldn't agree with you more, Kim. The people who are elected can never be allowed to let go of the fact of why they're there. They're there to serve, period, end of story. For me personally, this is a job, one of the hardest jobs I've ever had. I've run Fortune 500 and Fortune 100 companies. I'm an efficiency guy. I'm where the interface between products and services left the company to the paying customer. You had to have quality. You had to have cost effectiveness. You had to have right person, right role, T's crossed, I dotted, efficiency, right? You come into government, and you got to work real hard to even get close to that. And I don't think that's an acceptable allowance. I think people should say, you know what, bureaucracy does occur in government, but it shouldn't. And it happens because we let it. We have to stop letting that happen and address these conditions as causes for the pain that we all suffer as citizens of this country. Don't let your elected officials think anything more of themselves than your servant. You're the boss of them. All the people in Wisconsin, and specifically the 59th Assembly District, are my bosses. When they call, I answer. When they ask, I deliver. That's the way it should be across the board. And then we wouldn't have so much strife, if you would, going on. So I really liked your point about the servant role. It has to be sustained. And by the way, if it's not for me and anyone else in any servant role, then get somebody else in there. That's the way this works. That's why our founding fathers did it the way they did it. Every 2 years for your representatives from the state level and federal level, every 2 years you get to elect who represents you. If you don't like what they're doing, it's on you. Anywhere in this country, it's on you. Thank you.
Well, and we do. We have a civic responsibility. We're in election season right now, and I would recommend that people check out our voter's guide. We've taken a look at all three of the state questions, as well as a local major tax increase. And then also we are recommending school board candidates on that as well. People have a civic duty. Sometimes they think it's just to vote. That's not the case, Representative Rantham. If, in fact, you are not an informed voter, and that's not just watching the ads that are on television, but doing the work to know who the candidates are and what the issues are, then you have a responsibility to not vote. So it is, make sure you know what's going on. If you don't do the civic duty of making sure that that's the case, then you have a civic duty, I think, to not vote. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that's a fantastic point. You mentioned something about questions. You have a question on a survey question?
I have a voter's guide that we have put out regarding the questions on the ballot here in Colorado.
Here's the number one question for your voter guide, and the number one question every person who's thinking about voting for somebody should ask. You get in front of the individual. I'm not talking about a phone call or an email. You find this person and you get in front of them, because you're going to be their boss if they're elected to the position you have in mind. And you look them right in the eye and you say, if you're elected to this position, who do you serve? Who's your boss? Ask them that. And if they can't tell you that it's the citizen of that area, that district, or that state, you don't want to probably get close to that, in my humble opinion. They have to answer. If someone says, Tim, who's your boss? It's the citizens of the 59th, and by the way, anyone else in the state of Wisconsin. That's my answer. I work for them. And at every level, school board, village, town, county, state level, your U.S. senators, your U.S. congressmen that work for you within your respective states, they have to understand that they work for you. And if they don't, then you don't want to vote for that, in my opinion.
Well, I totally agree with that. Representative Rantham, this is really an important conversation. I thank you. How would you like to button this up?
Stay tuned for coming attractions. I would encourage everybody to use maybe Wisconsin's momentum to get an audit going, to keep an eye on what's happening here. You can watch my Rampton report on YouTube, Rumble, or Telegram. You want to call my office, I don't care where you live in the country. You want to get on my weekly email distribution, you can do that too. The previous Rampton report is contained within the email. The final thing I would say is, in your respective state, stay engaged and be direct. Be forceful with your questions and demand better from your servants, because you will make a difference if you do that. If you don't and you sit back and let things happen because that's the way it's always been, then you can't complain either. So get involved and make a difference, and you will be surprised what you can get from it. It's a really good time, by the way. There's a paradigm shift going on nationally, in the individual states as well as our entire country, and right now is the time to engage to help make a difference. Thank you, Kim.
Well, thank you, Representative Tim Rantham from Wisconsin. Again, that is the Rantham Report. And what is that website, Representative Rantham, where people can sign up for your newsletter?
It's rep.ramthun, R-A-M-T-H-U-N, at legis.wisconsin.gov. Or you can simply call my office at area code 608-266-9175 and ask to be added to that communication item, that weekly communication item.
Okay. And that's 608-266-9175. Representative Tim Rantham, thank you so much. I greatly appreciated the conversation.
The honor's been all mine. Have a blessed day, Kim.
Thank you so much. And my friends, God bless you and God bless America.